This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. The mission to keep Taman Rimba Kiara as a park that benefits all continues as the federal court has allowed DBKL and the other parties involved to appeal against the quashing of the development order and commence with an appeal to reinstate the development over a portion of the public park. So I'm going to catch up today with Hafiz Abubakar, who is the chairman of the TTDI Residents Association, and Leon Kwe, who is a member of the Save Taman Rimba Kiara Working Group, about this new development in the case. And we're also going to question, on a separate note, we're also going to question why recommendations and objections submitted by the public were ignored by the authorities in the final decisions of the Kuala Lumpur City Plan 2020 Alteration 3 Part 2, and the implications of the prospective loss of open space and conversion of institutional land to commercial use that it will bring with it. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hi, Julie.
Nice to have you back on the show. How are you both? Hope you're keeping well.
Yeah, nice to be back talking to BFM and to you again. It's always a pleasure.
Yes.
And thank you very much, Juliet, for having us here.
Always a pleasure. You guys are our neighbors right over here in Taman Tun. So lots happening in Taman Tun. You know, there's a lot we've been seeing in the news. So thought we'd get some clarification about what's happening. Let's start with the Taman Rimba Kiara case first, shall we? So just for context, we know that back in January of this year, the Court of Appeal quashed a development order by DBKL to develop Taman Rimba Kiara. And that's also by Memang Perkasa Sendirian Berhad, a subsidiary of Molten Berhad. Can you remind us what happened earlier this year?
Yes, on the 27th of Jan 2021, the Court of Appeal, after hearing arguments which had run for pretty much more than a year, delivered a decision that effectively rendered the development order for a condominium project at Taman Rimba Kiara null and void. Mm-hmm. So the Court of Appeal basically quashed the development order that had been granted by Dewan Bandaraya Kuala Lumpur, or Datuk Bandar Kuala Lumpur, DBKL, which development order had been issued in July 2017 to allow for the construction of 8 blocks of high-end condominiums and 1 block of affordable housing. So the Court of Appeal in their decision, there were basically various grounds that have been delivered in coming to that decision. Among those were that the Court of Appeal found that the applicants, i.e. the plaintiffs who brought the suit, i.e. residents and condominiums surrounding, as well as the Taman Tun Dr. Ismail Resident Association, all of them had legal standing to bring the suit against DBKL. Mm-hmm. The court also held that the contents of the KL Structure Plan 2020, which was a document that had been gazetted way back in 2004, that the contents of that document were binding on DBKL in terms of its decision-making, and that Dato' Bandar needed to demonstrate that he had considered that document properly in making any decisions relating to the issuance of a development order. Mm-hmm. The Court of Appeal found that the Dato' Bandar had failed actually to adhere to the provisions of the KL Structure Plan, and that in itself was a ground for quashing the development order. There were various other things which the Court of Appeal found. They also found that Dewan Bandaraya or Dato' Bandar had failed to give substantiation or reasons, justification, adequate justification for the decision that was made in terms of deciding to issue the development order. They had failed to provide adequate reasoning and substantiation of the basis for making that decision. Mm-hmm. The Court of Appeal also found that there was a conflict of interest in the relationship between Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan, i.e. the landowner that had gotten it part of Taman Rimba Kiara alienated to itself. There was a conflict between Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan and Dato' Bandar, mm-hmm. in the sense that Dato' Bandar sat as a trustee on the board of directors of the Yayasan Villa Persekutuan. And Yayasan Villa Persekutuan had in turn entered into a joint venture agreement with Memang Perkasa, the developer, where they had made certain promises to the developer that they would assist and take steps to facilitate the progress of the development project. The Court of Appeal, in looking at the context of the relationship and what had been entered into by Yayasan Villa Persekutuan, found that these placed the Dato' Bandar in a position of conflict, which you know, he could not remove himself from. And by virtue of that, that also rendered the decision to deliver, to issue the development order null and void.
I think, I remember the judge saying that this proposed development was and is in truth and in reality a pure business and commercial joint venture between two entities, right? And that that is Yayasan and Memang Perkasa, as evidenced by the clear terms in the joint venture agreement, which you were just talking about. I believe that's what the judge said at the time.
Absolutely. The panel in their decision alluded to, or actually elucidated, elaborated in detail as to what you have just mentioned, that the predominant or the dominant intention here was a commercial development. And it did appear that, you know, the notion of trying to, or the excuse of having to come up with this huge development in order to deliver permanent housing for the Longhouse community appeared to be not really the dominant aspect of this whole venture.
Yeah. And I know at the time, you know, everybody was really happy. You know, we thought that this was a real victory, you know, after years of hard work. But this brings us to what happened last week, right? Where the developer and DBKL were granted leave by the federal court to appeal the decision of the Court of Appeal to quash the project's development order. Can you explain what that means exactly?
Yes. In any court process, the parties are entitled to appeal. Yep. We have three levels of court, shall we say. In our context, it starts with the High Court, and then there is a Court of Appeal, which is the first level of appeal, or the first destination of appeal.
Sure.
And typically what happens then is the Court of Appeal makes a decision in relation to the High Court decision. They decide whether to affirm it or maybe to disagree with it and overturn it. Typically, that is the end of the matter, because you have given everyone, you know, one chance to try and argue this matter to a higher, at a higher level. And that is borne out by the fact that the Court of Appeal has a three-judge panel that sits, you know, as opposed to one judge sitting at the High Court.
Right.
If after the Court of Appeal, a Court of Appeal decision, some parties still feel that they don't agree, they can apply to the federal court for permission to submit a full appeal to the federal court, for the federal court to hear. Now, this is not an automatic right to appeal. The aggrieved party must first put in an application for permission, or what they call a application for leave to appeal. So this is what happened. This is the application that was heard last week. Basically, DBKL, the developer, Memang Perkasa, which is part of the Molten Group, Yayasan Villa Persekutuan and one other party, applied for leave from the federal court to submit a full appeal at a later point to the federal court for certain issues to be heard or to be, you know, to be further elaborated. As a rule, the federal court does not accept any factual matters anymore.
Okay.
They only focus on issues of law, whether the law is clear on a particular area or whether there is further clarification required by a higher level or the highest level, i.e. the federal court. So what happened in the leave hearing last week was that there was a whole range of issues that were raised by the parties that had lost at the Court of Appeal.
Mm-hmm.
They endeavored to, convince the federal court that there were some issues of law that needed to be clarified further. And after a full-day hearing, this three-judge panel of the federal court decided that there were some issues which they did not believe needed to be explored further by the federal court.
Right. Okay.
At the same time, they found that there were four issues which they thought merited a full hearing before a full panel of the federal court.
That's right.
Okay. Now, so when they make a determination like that, it doesn't mean that they agree with what is being said by the aggrieved parties. The criteria for them is to look at what has been raised and to make a determination whether this needs to be explored and debated and argued in a wider context before a fuller panel of the federal court. So it's kind of like a gatekeeping type situation where this three judges of the federal court are kind of standing at the gate. And, the aggrieved party comes to the line and says, look, because of ABC, can you please just open the gate and let me come in? And then I will explain everything to you in detail.
Okay. Right.
So that is kind of what happened. That's pretty much what happened last week. The parties, the aggrieved parties, spoke to the three-judge panel or submitted a three-judge panel to say, look, we do have some issues which we think should be explored further. Please just allow us to come in and submit a full argument to you. So that is what happened. The federal court panel that sat agreed that, okay, fine. We think that there are things that require wider debate.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll let you come in through the gate.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's pretty much what happened. So vis-a-vis the merits of the case itself, the Court of Appeal decision still stands as of now. Everything that was decided by the Court of Appeal applies as of now. The deferment order is null and void. It is still quashed. There is no basis for the parties, for the developer or DBKL or the landowner to proceed or to take any steps in relation to the project. As of now, they do not have a project. Yeah.
Yep.
At the same time, the federal court has agreed that the question of certain questions in relation to the Court of Appeal decision can be explored in fuller detail. And they have agreed that they will set a date to hear these in fuller detail at a date to be decided. Yeah.
Okay.
So pending that, the development order is still null and void and it is still quashed.
And I think that's something that, when when this came out last week, I think that's something that the Residents Association also said, right? That, everything is still binding until the matter is disposed in the federal court. So status quo until that case is heard, until we hear more from there, correct?
Absolutely. And Encik Hafiz, had many queries to field. He was pivotal in, as usual, in the whole process.
Of course.
And that's why he issued a statement as well to ensure that everyone understands, where we are in this regard.
Yeah, because I saw, some postings on Facebook and things like that. People were like, oh my God, what does this mean? Does this mean that the development order, is allowed? People weren't really reading and understanding. So it's great that, you've clarified it. So I guess we'll wait for that case and to find out what's going to happen there. But for now, status quo, the development order is quashed, right? That is the long and short of it.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Yes. And the Resident Association is very encouraged by what has transpired ever since and until now, that the federal court, the decision actually give us the opportunity to further clarify on what needs to be done, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to us, the decision-making process by the authorities is pretty much very simple. Now, we have laws, we have rules, and we have guidelines to adhere to. All the authorities need to do is to adhere and follow what the guideline says. because we all have to follow the guidelines. Mm-hmm. And so we do expect them to follow those guidelines and don't depart from the rules and guidelines. For instance, I think we have mentioned about the fact that you mentioned about the Perubahan 3, right? And it involved changes in land use from institutional to commercial. Now, Taman Tun Dr. Ismail is a established low density housing area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the people who bought property here will feel cheated. Yeah, if in later years that the township become choked with high rise concrete structures, choking traffic, almost disappearing parking spaces, you know, so if someone were to agree to this kind of development, meaning they would like to have to live in a high density area, I mean, there are many more high density areas in Kuala Lumpur that they can go to, you know. Yeah. And like, again, I repeat that Taman Tun is an established low density housing area. Now, this blatant disregard to the rule that are in place, this has got to stop. Yeah? This blatant disregard to the will of the rakyat, for instance, for one. Is the rakyat only matters at election time? You get what I mean?
Yeah.
You're smiling there.
So, out of pain more than, you know, anything else.
So the rakyat matters in or out of the election time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and then also this blatant disregard to the misuse of authority. Now, we would expect that the authorities will always and every time act in the best interest of the people, right? But what we have now here is that the same authority is using public fund to pay lawyers to act against the people they are supposed to represent.
Yeah.
You know, so going to the court of appeal, going to the courts and take legal, defend themselves takes a lot of money.
Yeah.
Now, where does this money come from? You know, surely I would be very disappointed if DBKL to use public fund, you know, to pay for all this. It's taxpayers' money to begin with. But unfortunately, in this country, we have this tak ada apa-apa lah, you know, apa nak buat attitude.
Yeah.
You know, so if the authorities are act in certain ways that affect us, most of the time our attitude will be apa nak buat.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
So I say this has got to stop. This has got to stop. That is why, I mean, if we don't fight or safeguard for our own kampung, then who will? Right?
For
so
sure.
We have to do this. And again, in all this, as I mentioned about the authorities having all these rules and guidelines to follow, I also ask that these decision makers, yeah, also have to have sincere compassion and empathy, right? Now, the decision makers are just like you and me and like everybody else. You know, we like our living environment to be clean, to be safe, peaceful, and comfortable. Put themselves in our shoes, right? Will they like the decision they make if they are in our position? So think of it that way. Be in all humanity, please listen to the rakyat, to the people, and make decision based on your compassion and your empathy.
It boggles the mind, Encik Hafiz, you know, what's been happening. You know, I mean, the people have spoken out so clearly. You know, I don't think you leave any room for doubt in that sense, right? But still, the authorities are pursuing this despite such a huge public outcry. But we'll see. I mean, they are following the you know, legal processes that are in place. So we'll see what happens with Taman Rimba Kiara. But after this quick break, I want to come back and find out about what's happening with regard to the Kuala Lumpur City Plan 2020, that Alteration 3 Part 2 that we were talking talking about. So after the break, we're going to come back and find out more about that. I'm speaking today to Hafiz Abubakar. He's the chairman of the TTDI Residents Association, and Leon Kueh, who is the committee coordinator for the Save Taman Rimba Kiara Working Group. And this is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today are Hafiz Abubakar. He's the chairman of the TTDI Residents Association, and Leon Kueh, who is the committee coordinator for the Save Taman Rimba Kiara Working Group. We're talking all about what's happening over here in Taman Tun. So before the break, you know, we found out what's happening with regard to the Taman Rimba Kiara case. You know, the federal court has allowed DBKL and other parties to appeal against the quashing of the development, but that doesn't mean that the development has been reinstated. So that's still ongoing. But now let's turn our attention to what happened. We heard news about it in early August, right? So the Kuala Lumpur City Plan 2020 Alteration 3 Part 2 was adopted on the 25th of June of this year. The public was informed through the papers on the 9th of August 2021. And I know that the Taman Tun Dr. Ismail Residents Association are extremely disappointed about this, because input from the public were completely ignored, not taken into consideration. Can you explain what's happening there?
Okay. So for starters, the Kuala Lumpur City Plan 2020, in the view of Selamatkan KL, which is the coalition of KL resident associations and NGOs, which focuses on trying to promote a better KL, mm-hmm. In the view of Selamatkan Kuala Lumpur, the KLCP, KL City Plan 2020, was not properly gazetted. The wrong version of that city plan was gazetted. The version that was gazetted was a version that contained alterations up to the year 2018. Mm-hmm. However, the law requires that any version that is proposed to be gazetted must be subject to public display and objection process.
That's right.
The version that was subjected to public display and objection process was a 2008 version that had been published and displayed in the year commencing 2008, and it ran into the year 2009. There were hearings, there was a whole public objection process, you know, and there were committees to deliberate on all those objections, etc. Okay, now, the version that was gazetted in 2018, which contained alterations proposed by DBKL running all the way up to 2018, all those alterations were not subject to the public display and objection process. Okay.
Yeah.
So Selamatkan KL has objected to the fact that the version gazetted is not valid. And that the KL city plan itself, the gazettement is therefore not valid. Okay.
Yeah.
There's actually a litigation involving KL residents against DBKL in relation to the wrongful gazetting of this KL city plan 2020.
Yeah.
Okay. That case is still waiting, making its way through court, is still waiting to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, against the context of that, DBKL decided that it wanted to amend this KL City Plan 2020 to incorporate even more changes on top of the 2018 version. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they decided to display and publish the proposed changes, and that was done in 2020, in the middle of COVID and all the lockdowns and the movement restrictions.
I remember, yeah.
Yes. We objected to these hearings because we said, look, is it really public? How public is your process? Are you actually giving the public enough time to engage, to gather information, to talk, to speak, to provide input? They went ahead anyway. So TTDIRA, together with Selamatkan KL and various other resident groups and NGOs, participated in the process under protest.
Okay, right.
We made it clear that we protested these, and we also made it clear that we were providing input without prejudice to the lawsuit that was ongoing to challenge the validity of the KL City Plan 2020.
Mm-hmm.
We actually reminded DBKL that this lawsuit is ongoing and that actually they should not be making any changes to a plan which is being legally challenged.
That's right.
But since they wanted to proceed, we said, okay, we will provide you comments and objections, but with full notice to you that we do not believe this plan is a valid plan. So all the various resident groups actually came out with very comprehensive objections and comments to the Perubahan Plan, as they call it. Yeah. This is Perubahan Plan 3, because they actually implemented Perubahan 1 and 2, I think in 2019. So in the Perubahan Plan, there were various changes proposed. In the context of Taman Tun, one of the changes which was very significant was relating to a plot of institutional land, which is located along Jalan Abang Haji Openg. It is a roughly 1.5 acre plot of land, which is located next door to the Women's Institute of Management. This land was zoned as institutional. The entire stretch of land there is part of what used to be Bukit Gera Estate. Okay.
Yeah.
When the federal government acquired all of that, this particular stretch of land was zoned as institutional land, and various plots were subdivided and given out to various institutions or NGOs in order to, you know, support them and let them have a base to sure. conduct their work.
Mm-hmm.
So as an example, you have Pusat Tuanku Bainun there,
mm-hmm.
yeah, which is a charitable organization. Then you have Bhakti Tun Siti Hasma, mm-hmm. right? Again, a charitable organization. You have Malaysian AIDS Foundation. Yeah?
Yeah.
You have Women's Institute of Management. This particular piece plot was given to a women's organization.
All right.
And somehow, in the course of 2017, a application was made to convert this into a commercial title.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, the Pejabat Tanah agreed to the conversion. Thereafter, DBKL, facilitated this process to change the land use of this particular plot from institutional to commercial. Again, arguing that, the title has already been changed. Therefore, we have to follow suit.
Okay.
This picks up on Encik Hafiz's point that the law says that irrespective of what title condition says for that particular piece of land,
mm-hmm.
planning law supersedes. The planning authority is entitled to agree or not agree to that particular land use. Yeah.
Yep.
If you are in a agricultural area and for some, wacky reason, the Pejabat Tanah agreed to give you a commercial title, it doesn't mean that you're allowed to suddenly build a commercial bomb that is going to spoil the agricultural use of that entire area, right?
Yeah.
So similarly, in this case, you're in the middle of an institutional zone. You know, the planning authority has every right to refuse to let you convert that land use. In your office.
Yes, thank you, Leon. You put it very nicely, very clearly.
Not so nice news in a very nice way, yes.
Yes. Now, this what angers us about this Perubahan 3 on the Jalan Abang Haji Openg piece of land.
Yeah.
Now, that piece of land is just across a small two-way road.
Yeah.
That fronting single-story houses, you know,
yep.
and what Leon said, that whole stretch has about I believe about 10 lots that were given to institutions and NGOs,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now in this Perubahan 3, only that particular piece of land were put up for change in land use from institution to commercial. And this piece of land is right in front of single-story houses. Yeah. So if they are, if they allow this piece of land to be converted to commercial, and they start to build commercial structures there, and they were talking about a 45-story building, two blocks of 45-story buildings there, and guess what will happen to the neighborhood there? You know, this is what I said earlier about these people having to have sincere compassion and empathy in coming up with decisions such as this, right?
Yeah.
Now, number one. Number two, if we allow such conversion to take place, then the other lots in that stretch will be asking for the same thing.
Mm.
And what will happen, going to happen there? There's going to be rows and rows of commercial structures, and that will spell the end of the peaceful environment of the Abang Haji Hoping housing area. Yeah, that's why, and what Leon said just now, we have submitted a very comprehensive objections to this perubahan, and we went into a hearing in January where we spell out why we objected to this. Now, please bear in mind that people say that this is Taman Tun, we always object. No, we don't object for the sake of objecting.
Objecting, yeah.
Yeah. There are many other decisions made that we did not object, you know. So, yes, so this particular piece of perubahan, we do object because it will affect the residents in the Abang Haji Hoping area, housing area.
Yeah, I think anyone who's been there knows, you know, it's very narrow roads. It's already crowded. It's already, I mean, you know, there's a school just up the road. There's, you know, the park there. You know, it gets very crowded at certain times. And to have, you know, two 45-story buildings coming up, I mean, gosh, the whole infrastructure is going to need to change if you're going to you know, cater to that, isn't it? And like you said, people have bought their houses, you know, years ago. This is a very old neighborhood, and there was no high-rise in the planning at that point in time. Am I correct?
And what is scary is that if this is allowed, the other NGOs will be asking for the same conversion on their piece of land,
yeah,
because it will make their land value go skyrocket, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why we have to put a stop to this.
Okay. So now that they've actually, so have they gazetted this perubahan, as they call it? You know, what's actually happening now? Is this going to go through? Can it still be appealed? What's happening now?
Yes, the perubahan plan has been gazetted. It was gazetted on the 9th of August, according to what we understand.
25th of June, right? And made public on the 9th of August. Is that correct?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Made public on 9th of August, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we are looking at... we are evaluating the implications of that gazettement.
Right.
And we have been discussing it within the community and with the residents. So basically, the community is mulling its options now, going through the consultation process to decide what are the next steps.
Can I just quickly ask, you know, when this decision was made, and this is despite, you know, all the recommendations that you made and objections, right? Was any reason given why your objections and recommendations were not taken into account?
See, this is one of the areas that was discussed, or rather decided at the Court of Appeal, that the authorities must give reasons to residents or to the people on why certain decisions were made,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this case, what happened on Jalan Abang Haji Hoping land, we put in, like you mentioned just now, like we mentioned that we have submitted a very comprehensive written objections,
yeah.
And we had a hearing in January stating our objections, but yet, we still have this approval and gazettement without any decision communicated to us. So this came is in a surprising manner to us. And
i.e. no reasons were given.
No reasons were given. No.
Okay.
So this is what really like I said, and we live here. We live here in Taman Tun. We know for a fact that if this were to be approved, Jalan Abang Dioping will be hell. There's no room for widening the road. There's no more room there.
Yeah.
As you point out, Juliet, there's a school there, which is a pretty busy school.
Yeah.
Plus, there is the entrance to Taman Persekutuan, Taman Lembah Kiara or Taman Persekutuan, Bukit Kiara.
That's right.
The lake section with jogging trail, etc., which is a very, very popular part of Taman Persekutuan Bukit Kiara.
Mm-hmm.
So even during MCO times, and now that it's been reopened, you get crowds of folks, vaccinated folks, of course, at this point, who are going into the park. And in normal times, you know, it is always crowded every day, both with school and park users.
Yeah.
So the road itself, Jalan Abang Haji Oping, is already a pretty pressured road. It's not built to accommodate the volume that would be thrown out by a condominium or commercial development. And I think it is very clear that the impact will be irreversible. What we found, what was observed from the Perubahan was that the traffic impact assessment or the traffic study that was conducted was rather weak and did not consider the wider implications of traffic originating or the traffic going in and out of this development on the larger Taman Tun area. We have already indicated to DBKL in the hearing that they needed to have a much wider traffic impact assessment because all traffic emanating out of a high-density development like that, it's going to spill out into the entire Taman Tun network, not just into one road. Right?
Yeah.
So the implication of how this traffic spills out into the VATS junction, the Pizza Hut junction, how it spills out into the Telecom Junction, the Wan Utama Junction, the Sungai Penjala Junction, all of these have bearing and will carry impact from this proposed development. But of course, these objections appear to not have landed on any sympathetic ears, and we find no reasons given for this decision to go ahead to approve this change in land use to commercial.
And I find it really amazing that these decision makers, based on what the Gazette Perubahan 3 reveals, that it's as though they are just looking in at that one particular plot of land.
Mm.
Remember, there are 8 or 9 other plot of land there that in the future will be asking for the same thing. This is what really scares us, that the development that is taking place now will change the face of that area and will be scarred forever.
Yeah. And I guess, even more shocking, why go through this whole public consultation, making all of you, submit all these, well thought out, well put through plans for it all to just be ignored without any reason given. I mean, to me, that's really quite appalling. Okay, but so you are mulling your options now. I know that this is a community effort, and it's wonderful that you all have come together, but it comes at a price as well. I know that you are also looking to start a fundraiser of sorts. Am I correct?
Let me start with saying that we in Taman Tun, we are blessed with many good people. One of them is Leon Kuei over here.
Both of you, yes.
He's the brilliant mind behind all this.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a village, boss. It takes a village of minds. It takes a village of minds.
Yeah.
They come together.
This is a very challenging time for all of us, apart from volunteering our time and effort, but also financially. So We hope. And the fact that the federal court case has a wider reach in all of KL, not only in Taman Tun, not only in Taman Ripokiara. So if the federal court were to uphold the decisions by the Court of Appeal, then many aspects of the planning laws in Kuala Lumpur will be friendly to the people.
And clearer.
And clearer, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is why we appeal to the people of Kuala Lumpur, especially, and to the people in Taman Tun to generously to contribute generously to our effort here, because we have the best lawyers to argue for us, and again, it's not only for us; it's for the wider reach of Kuala Lumpur as a whole.
For sure. So what are the details then? You know, if anybody's interested and they'd like to support or they'd like to contribute, how can they do that?
Yes, we have started, issued out a circular to explain this whole process.
Sure.
And we do ask for contributions to be deposited or to contribute to our TDDI RA collection account at RHB Bank with the account number 2143-8900-063803 with the reference SAFE TRK Fund. So again, we would like to ask people of Kuala Lumpur to generously contribute to this fund.
And the details are also available on the Selamatkan Taman Rimba Kiara Facebook page. I believe the volunteers have pinned those details as the first post, so you will be able to find it if you look for Selamatkan Taman Rimba Kiara Facebook.
Okay. All right. Well, yes. Well, hopefully a lot more people get involved and, you know, support in whatever way. It is very time consuming. So even if you can't, you know, at least try and contribute financially, you know, just to help to free the costs. But thank you so much, both of you, for joining me today. And we'll keep updated. Yeah, we'll keep in touch and find out what's happening in the future. I've been speaking today to Hafiz Abubakar. He's the chairman of the TTDI Residents Association, and Leon Kue, who's the committee coordinator of the Save Taman Rimba Kiara Working Group. We were doing another roundup of our TTDI versus DBKL, right? Lots of appeals, land conversions, unmeaningful public consultations happening. What's happening? Again, do head to the Save Taman Rimba Kiara Working Group Facebook page for more information. And if you'd like to support, do contribute some cash. Donate generously to the TTDI RA for their collection. And if you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can always download the podcast at bfm.my/earth, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.